This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Let's bring in the new head coach of the New York Rangers, Gerard Gallant, and he joins us here on the show. Coach, it's Michael, Don, and Peter. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, thank you.
When you take this job, do you feel the pressure of the responsibility of coaching the New York Rangers? Is it different with an original six team like this?
No, I don't feel any more pressure, to be honest with you. I mean, I think we got a real good talented hockey club and an up-and-coming team for sure. But I don't feel any more pressure. I just go to the rink and enjoy my time with the players. And, you know, I got a great job, so I'm not worried about pressure.
How about where you are right now as a team? You still have a lot of young players, but the expectation is to make the playoffs. So are you still in the rebuild, still part of the process, or can fans now expect this to be a playoff team you're taking over?
Well, I think the rebuild is over. I think they got a lot of young talent that's coming up and playing pretty well. I think they got some very good veteran players. They got real good goaltending. So we get all the makings to be a real good team. But in saying that, there's 32 teams in the NHL that all think they can make the playoffs. So it's going to be a battle. I look at our division. There's real good teams there. But I fully expect us to compete with any team in the National Hockey League.
Coach, there are a lot of positions that were open. Everything I read is that you were in great demand. Why did you choose the Rangers?
Well, like you just said, it's an original six team. It's a team that's ready to take off and go forward and be a real good, solid team for a long time. And, you know, when I met with Chris Drury, the first time I met with Chris before I went to Europe with Team Canada, we had a 3-hour meeting in New York, and everything was great. It's a good fit. Chris is a good person. We had a great conversation. And I think when I left that day after 3 hours, I had a pretty good feeling I was going to be the coach of the Rangers. And, you know, fortunately for me, it happened. But I think it was a good fit between me and Chris.
All right, after you parted ways with Columbus in 07, Gerard, you were an assistant with the Islanders, you went down to the junior, won a couple of championships, come back with Montreal as an assistant before you become a head coach again in Florida. That time away from being a head coach in the NHL, did you come back better? Did you learn anything during that span of time?
Well, the biggest thing you come back with is more confidence. You know, I mean, when you win championships, no matter what level it's at, you get more confidence. And then I went to Montreal. We had a good team in Montreal for the 2 years. So, no, I just think when I came back a second time around with the Florida Panthers, I was more confident making my decisions and, you know, working with your assistant coaches. So the first time you go to an NHL head coaching job, and I was a young coach at that time, I didn't have much experience. You know, you make mistakes and you're not confident in your decisions. When you come back the second time around, it was completely different for me.
I'm curious, before you took the job, Gerard, did you meet with Jim Dolan?
I talked with him briefly, you know. I mean, I didn't meet with him. The only time I met with anybody because of the COVID was, Team Canada was meeting Team USA in Newark. So I just happened to be there a day and a half before, which worked out perfect. So I had a chance to meet with Chris. So I never met with Mr. Dolan.
And how did the conversation with him go, although short?
Real good. I mean, it was... you know, his expectations is we want to have a real good hockey team here, you know. And everything was real positive. He said, I don't interfere with the coaching. I'll let you go do your job. But their expectations are high. And I said, it's perfect. That's exactly what I want to know. So it was real good. It was real to the point. But like you said, it was just short and welcoming to the Rangers more than anything. But at that time, he was just sort of, feeling me out and seeing how things are going to go. But it was great.
You know, the perception seemed to be that the Rangers got pushed around a little bit at the end of the year, and, of course, the incident with Wilson and the Washington Capitals. Do you feel this team needs to be harder, and can you get that out of the players that are here, or is that something you've got to go and find outside?
No, I think every player that watches the games, every fan that watches the games right now, and you say, you know what, we got to be a little bit harder. I don't know what the Rangers, you know, in the past, what they did. I obviously seen that the night what happened with Wilson, and then the next night the Rangers responded in a perfect manner. You know, they stepped up and they did the right things for their team. But, I think every player knows, you know what, if you're going to be in this battle in the playoffs, You're going to have to play harder. You have to compete harder. You're going to have to be ready for every game. And that's, you know, I've coached teams. I was in Vegas and I was in Florida, and we went to the playoffs. And everybody steps it up a notch. So there's all kinds of range of players that step it up a notch have been in the playoffs before. So I don't see any issue with that. I think, you know, each player is going to play a little bit more physical, and we'll see what the offseason brings. When me and Chris sit down, we talk about players, and, you know, who knows what free agency brings. But you don't worry about that. You worry about the team you got, and we'll see if we can make it better.
New Rangers head coach Gerard Gallant is our guest here on the Michael Kay Show. So I know that when Chris spoke today to the media, he kind of hinted that you guys might lean toward picking a captain. Do you feel that that's important, and do you have somebody in mind?
No, not really at all. I mean, I talked to Chris. Like I said, we just talked to it briefly because, to be honest with you, I had a sister that passed away last week. The day I got the job, my sister passed away, so we didn't have a whole lot of conversation about the team. No, that's fine. Mm-hmm. I mean, she would. But anyway, you know, so we didn't have a whole lot of conversation about the captaincy. And we'll, you know, we'll talk about that all summer long. But you know what? I'm a firm believer that 23 guys are being real good leaders. And that's what you need from your hockey club. And when you do pick a captain, you got to make sure it's the right one. So we'll talk about that and discuss it. He knows the players better than I do. And we'll go in there and we'll make a decision. But it'll be a group decision. And, you know, we look forward to that. But the big thing for me is we need 23 guys that are ready to take leadership roles.
You know, looking at these final four teams in the playoffs, Gerard, you look at how they can roll four lines and how effective a fourth line can be. So when you take over a team that's got a lot of young kids, what's that line between giving them the playing time but also making sure that they have the ability to play? It's not like the old days where you play like 3-4 minutes on the fourth line. There's so much expected by that those bottom two lines. So how do you work between getting the kids ready to play but making sure that they can play and be ready at the time when you need them so that you can win games?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think if you look at my coaching career, the last 6 years, 3 in Florida and 3 in Vegas, I was one of the guys that used four lines more than any other coach mm-hmm. probably in the league. So, you know, that was a big part of my game. And when you play a high tempo speed, that's what you have to do. And each player has to have roles on your team. I mean, some of those fourth line guys, they might not be scoring 15 goals for you, but they have an important role to play. So they're out there, they're bumping the body, they're banging the body, they're working hard. So a lot of times they're not the young stars coming up. Hopefully the young players will play in the, you know, when they're high draft picks like the kids that we got, Lafreniere and Kako, obviously, you know, they're going to be up higher in the lineup. But your fourth line guys, as every bit important as your first line guys. You got to make sure they're ready to play every night. And like you said, in the playoffs, you can't go with three lines. You have to play four lines.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, Gerard, I'm wondering, you know, what you did in Vegas was historic with an expansion team. It had never been done. And then you're gone a couple of years later. So may I ask you what happened? How did you go from, you know, just this once-in-a-lifetime sort of achievement and then you're gone?
I'd like to be able to answer that question. Like, I can't really tell you. I mean, I was surprised as anybody. It was, But that's the thing. I mean, when you have expectations like we had in Vegas, I mean, the first two and a half years for me went real well. We had a 4-game losing streak, and, you know, all of a sudden, you know, and they have the right to do that. I mean, that's teams have the right to do it. And I got a call, and they said, we're going to go in a different direction. So, you know, what do you do as a coach? You know, I thought that everything was going well and, you know, got the team ready to play. And we worked hard for 2.5 years, and all of a sudden they're going in a different direction. So, again, when you sign your contract, you know, that's part of the business, and it's a tough part of the business, but you got to move on, and the quicker you move past those stuff, the better off you're going to be. So I just got ready for my next opportunity, and fortunately it's going to be with a real good team in New York.
So can you still be happy for what Vegas is accomplishing now?
I feel a part of it, to be honest with you. I mean, obviously with what they're doing, a lot of those players are there, and we get off on the right foot for 2.5 years, but you know, like I said, the ties are over now. I mean, I'm a New York Ranger now, and I'm working on that and worried about that. So, you know, like I said, I coached a lot of good players there. There's a lot of good people in that organization. So, but you got to move on from that.
I'm curious, and Ranger fans would want to know as well, Gerard, can you tell us what type of coach you are? Are you a disciplinarian? Are you somebody that nurtures? Do you like veterans more than you like youngsters? Well, what is Gerard Gallant about?
I'm about trying to win hockey games with the players that are playing the best hockey that night. So it doesn't matter if you're 42 years old or if you're 18 years old. You're going to get the opportunity to play. I'm going to give you a second chance when you make mistakes. That's part of hockey. You can't go out on the ice thinking you're going to sit in the bench when you make mistakes. You got to go out there. You got to play on your toes. We want to be an aggressive forechecking team. We want to be, you know, pursuing the puck a lot. So I like to play a fast style of hockey. And like I said, I give people second and third opportunities. But after that, then they start to pay a price for it. But you want to be fair to your players. You want to give them the opportunity to get their talent out and work hard and compete hard. And so I'm a fair coach. I'd say, you know, people call me a player's coach. But also, you know, when there's time to discipline people, you have to do that too. So there's a fine line on all those decisions you have to make as a coach, and hopefully make more right decisions than you do wrong decisions.
You know, the goalies that you have right now, certainly Igor Shesterkin and Alexander Georgiev with Keith Kincaid there. What is your philosophy on playing goaltenders? Do you want one guy to play the bulk, or would you like to see the backup get to play north of 20 games a year?
You know, I couldn't even make a decision like that. I sit down with our goalie coach. You know, we have a good chat about the goaltending. He knows a lot more about the goaltending than I do. So we'll discuss it. And like I said, I'm a coach that uses the people around me. My assistant coaches are really important to me. The goaltending coach is really important. The video coach is really important. So I'll take the, you know, we'll sit down and make those decisions later. But again, I know that we got real good, solid goaltending there. And we know we need at least two goalies or three goaltenders to make a long run. And that's what you need. And you can't get to, you know, it's not where the goalies play 70 games anymore. That doesn't happen in the NHL anymore. So you need two real good goaltenders. And, you know, sometimes your third goalie is really important to your club also.
What would what was your previous relationship with Drury, Gerard?
None, really. I mean, I knew him to say hello. That was about it. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, No, I wouldn't say. I mean, I never phoned him before or never talked to him before. I might have, like I said, walked by him and said hello or shook his hand, but that was it. That was as far as it goes.
Now how about Glenn Sather?
The same, pretty much. I mean, I played against him when he was running the Edmonton Oilers and that, but there was no more than that. Hello, Mr. Sather, that was about it.
And finally, does Madison Square Garden hold a special place in your heart? It seems like people that come here say that when they visited as a player, it just meant the world to them. How about to you?
Yeah, no, I mean, obviously it was an intimidating place to play when you're a player, and I love coming in that building. I mean, back then, the original, you know, a lot of original six buildings were still going when I was playing, so it was pretty fun coming into those buildings, Montreal, Toronto, you know, New York Rangers. I mean, as a kid, Boston Bruins, so I love coming into that building and playing games in there. And as a coach, it's the same thing. I mean, they get the fans get cheering back there, you know, let's go Rangers. And, you know, it's pretty good. So it's a great building to play in, and I really enjoy coaching that building too. So I'm looking forward to being the coach of the home team. So that'll be a lot of fun.
All right. We wish you the best of luck. Congratulations on the gig. Sorry about your sister, obviously, mm-hmm. and hopefully we'll talk to you throughout the season. Good luck.
Well, thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate it.
All right.
Good luck, Coach.
Gerard Gallant, the new Rangers head coach. I like what he said, though. I give people second and third chances, but after that, they're in trouble. I mean, you know, you get three chances, that's pretty good. Some people, you know, give somebody one chance and they bench them. But you get three chances, I think that's enough, Don. I like that kind of style. And also he said that he likes to, you know, push the puck a little bit. So, you know, he's had good success as a coach in the past.
And he said it. You know, there's no edict to make the playoffs, but he said the rebuild's over. And translation is that means that now you're a playoff team and you can start taking steps towards winning. So even though when you know, watching the press conference today and this interview, the feeling seems to be, well, no guarantees of making the playoffs. But, Michael, when you say the rebuild is over, what other expectations should fans have?
Oh, they've got to make the playoffs.
Yeah, that it's
I'm
time.
I'm sorry. I mean, whether or not they're going to win the cup, but they've got to make the playoffs.
No, but I think, yeah, they this is a team that has to make the playoffs and be a better team. You just fired the coach. You fired, you know, the general manager. You fired the president. And you've got a lot of good young players here. And Gallant's coming off of being, Michael, being fired on a team that you fast forward a year later could win a Stanley Cup, and he almost got them a Stanley Cup in his first year in Vegas. So, yeah, make no mistake, this is a team that's going to be gunning for the playoffs and starting to take steps to be where the teams that are in the playoffs right now are.
All right, we'll take a quick timeout. We'll take some phone calls, 1-800-919-3776. Peter has a very big book review coming up. Don't know exactly when he wants to do it, but he could do it whenever he wants.
Hang tight. Just hang tight.
All right, fine. You can finish the book as we're speaking?
Exactly. I just did.
Well, during the Ranger interview, yeah. We got a baseball one coming up, too. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.